Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. We have disruptors everywhere in the globe. Our guest today is actually calling in from Paris, France, so we really are a global tribe of disruptors. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics, your automatic way of being, your automatic way of doing, your automatic way of thinking. Today's show, Are You Entitled? We are live every Sunday, like we are right now, from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. You're live catching us on WHCR, WHCR.org, 90.3 FM. We are the voice of Harlem. We're trying to get the page up on my Facebook page as well, so hopefully we'll get that up shortly so you can watch and listen to us there as well. Happy Sunday and start to a new week, and happy President's Day here in the United States, celebrating President's Day weekend. Again, you are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, who we are. Coach Nick is author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity so everyone gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics, and personal development. We run a men's group here. Dudes of Disruption run a men's group here in New York City, and also a social action group here in New York. I'll tell you more about that later. So our show today is Are You Entitled? The show examines where a sense of entitlement comes from and its impact on the results that you're producing everywhere in your life, along with understanding the importance of respecting the needs of others. So again, we start every show with Nick's Riff. In the second segment, we have Say What, when we use and cover an article that is connected to our title. Again, Are You Entitled? Third segment is Ask a Dudette. We're going to have Kristen Bavero, Coach Kristen Bavero of Think Human, calling in. And then our fourth segment is Parting Shots. Our special guest, as I said, is calling in from Paris, France. Her name is Connie Lee Bennett. Let's bring Connie Lee Bennett online here. Hello.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
I am very good. Connie, do you want to say something about yourself before we jump into the show?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And it's such an honor to be invited onto your show. I think it's an amazing space that you provide for people to disrupt that which is limiting them from stepping into their inner power and their true happiness. So that's really great. I'm really honored to be here today. And, you know, who I am is somebody who's really passionate about helping women and men step into their inner power, their inner feminine power and their inner masculine power. I do that in my one-to-ones. I'm a holistic psychotherapist. I lead workshops and seminars and conferences. I'm an author, platform speaker. What else is there?
That's a lot.
we always wear all of these hats, don't we? But the heart of what we do is always the same, and it's very similar to what you do, is helping people find out who they truly are so they can feel that happiness on a very deep level.
Awesome.
That is not on a mind level, but a deeper level. Yeah.
That's great,
yes,
Connie.
I'm excited.
Welcome.
Over
welcome.
To you,
welcome.
Over
and
to you.
We start every show with Nick's Riff. So why don't we do that and jump right in?
I know that, dude.
All right. We have Connie Lee Bennett on the line from Paris, France, and I'm going to actually use her quote to kick things off. We always start Nick's Riff with a quote. We're going to take a line from Ms. Connie when we were having a conversation this past week and planning our show. And the quote is as follows: no one is entitled to anything, but everyone is entitled to everything. No one is entitled to anything, but everyone is entitled to everything. Connie, can you just share real quick what you mean by that, or what does that mean to you?
Wow. I'm sure we'll get into all the deeper meaning,
yes,
behind that in the show, but basically what I thought was, when we were talking, is, you know, everyone I think if we really connect with who people are on a very deep level, is that divine connection to God, to Source, to that infinite power. And when you truly connect with the truth of who you are, then you know that who you are is complete and is perfect exactly as you are.
Sounds great.
And when you're in alignment alignment with that, then you understand and you know that you deserve and are all. Mm. So you are entitled to all because it is you are abundant in
Got
that
it.
Which you attract, in that which you are.
Yes.
So everyone is entitled to absolutely everything.
So that's a really key question. Who is entitled to what is a key question in politics, in business, and in our personal lives. Are we really entitled to anything, or are we entitled to everything? You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, along with guest Connie Lee Bennett. And our intention today is to disrupt the distinction of entitlement or being entitled, because it causes an experience of one person or group believing they are better or more deserving than another. So our show today is going to explore how to find a way to balance self-respect or self-love with respect and love for others. You know, often we're taught, Connie, that we deserve everything we desire, right? We tell our kids that they deserve things. We use terms like, you deserve a day off, you've been working really hard, or you deserve to have that drink or have that nice dinner at the end of a long week. So I want to share the difference between how I'm viewing this thing called deserve and its relationship to entitlement. I deserve because there's judgment and I can, and I'm better than you and I should get something over you, often is operating from a scarcity conversation, a scarcity mindset, right? So just to give a quick example, my ex-wife was a best-selling author. She was, she wrote a book. And she wrote a book, and her publisher was Random House. And I remember when she was writing the book, I remember saying the words, Connie, and I'm embarrassed to actually say it out loud, but I'm going to say just to drive the point home. I said, why you? Why are you getting this deal, right? And that was coming from a place of comparison, a place of judgment, a place of, you know, me versus you or you versus me. And that's what I mean by the scarcity mindset. And the other way to think of or relate to I deserve and I believe there's enough for everyone, and we all deserve to get what we desire. And I deserve something because I'm worthy of something, like, let's say, publishing a book. I'm worthy of it just like you, just like everyone else is worthy, that there's actually enough worthiness to give around, right? And that's operating from an abundant mindset. Let me just say one last point. I want to pull you into this conversation, which is I believe often where an unhealthy dose of entitlement comes from, the scarcity mindset, happens from an early age. And often when we're at an early age, some of us have an experience of not being taken care of. Now, why we're not taken care of can show up in a lot of different ways, right? You may be the oldest in your family and you have other siblings and your parents rely on you taking care of them. Or you have a parent parents who are working all the time, so they're not around a lot, so you have to fend for yourself. Or you have parents who are just disconnected, right? And they're just doing their own thing. Or you have an abusive parent who's not taking care of you. Or something traumatic happens in your life as a kid. I know in my case, my parents both were in a severe accident. So they were, you know, dealing with hospital and medical issues for a long period of time, right? So all of those things I mentioned and others leave a child with the experience of not being taken care of. And in fact, leave a child with the experience of not having had a childhood, right? Where you have to basically grow up quickly, right? And what happens in those instances, I believe, in working with individuals and working with teams, often you turn into a me-focused person and what I need versus a person who is outwardly focused, looking to balance what they can contribute, and inside of that experience also being taken care of. So I just shared with you my view or my definition of entitlement. What's your definition of entitlement?
That's very interesting. I want to elaborate and add on to what you've said, Nick, because it's really, really powerful. Is, you know, I think all of us know and understand that who we are as people is we're born this, you know, if you imagine a baby is born,
right,
and they are just, they're complete and they're perfect, and they're 1 and they're 2 years old and they're complete, they're perfect. If you look at a 2-year-old, they're running around and they are in this complete space of, well, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no lack.
Right.
You know, you were talking about the scarcity thing. So there is no lack, so there is no fear for them.
Right.
They are just being. They know that they're going to get everything that they want and they need and they desire.
Yep.
But like you said, what happens is that throughout our lives, we get our first hurt, we get our first upset, we get maybe a first abuse takes place, or you're not looked after, or mom and dad are working hard, or
right,
whatever the case may be, the first moment of, ooh, something's not quite right here.
Right.
I'm probably not good enough, because if I was good enough, then I would be looked after.
Yes.
If I was good enough, then I would be taken care of.
Right.
If I was good enough, I would be taken care of. So for me, what's pivotal to healing and knowing what's disrupting you in this area is this idea of, well, where was that moment when you felt not good enough? Because
right,
what happens automatically is that the mind develops a defense mechanism. And I think this is key to the entitlement concept.
Okay.
You develop a defense mechanism because you want to protect yourself. You know,
right,
you feel not good enough. So your defense mechanism might be, okay, well, I need to, no one's going to look after me. So you said the me mindset, you know, that
right,
I have to do everything myself.
Right.
So it kind of, you think that it's, no one's going to look after you, so you're going to look after yourself.
Yes.
Or you might take on, so you develop this defense mechanism, but also along the side, you're growing up taking on the views and the values of society. So if you grow up in a society where, you know, we spoke about it, didn't we, when we were chatting earlier this week, this idea of, well, I deserve because I am from this class, from this culture, from this nationality, you know, I'm
yes,
South African, and we have a lot of that going on with regards to entitlement around color. And so you could be brought up in the conditioned views of society.
Right.
So entitlement either is a conditioned view or it is a defense mechanism.
Interesting. You said to me offline, and this is what it sounds like, and then we'll take a break. You said that the inner child plays out in life. So if you didn't get unconditional love, which you deserve as a child, as a baby, then what you don't develop is a healthy deserve, quote-unquote, deserve schema, right? So the question for the global tribers of disruption out there, where in your life is entitlement getting in your way? Where are you being entitled? Not as a make wrong, but where are you operating from that place and what's it costing you? More when we come back. Your phone calls at 212-650-6903. You're listening to WHCR, WHCR.org. All right. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. We have special guests on the line calling in from Paris, France, Connie Lee Bennett. This week we are talking about, are you entitled? Again, the question for our disruptors out in the global tribe, where in your life are you playing a game of being entitled, where you think or believe you deserve more than others? What's it costing you? What's it costing you in your relationships at home or at work? That song was from Billy Joel, Big Shot. I think very appropriate for our title, Are You Entitled? He said he wrote that song, by the way, Connie, for Bianca Jagger, who was a socialite, as you may know, married to Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones. And it was written, the song was written from Mick's perspective. When he met met the two, Mick and Bianca were on the outs and divorced shortly thereafter. And Billy Joel was thinking about how Mick would sing the song to Bianca when he recorded it. A couple of lines that I thought were appropriate, again, in regards to our title, Are You Entitled? You had to open up your mouth. You had to be a big shot, didn't you? All your friends were so knocked out. You had to have the last word last night. You know what everything's about, you, and to have a white hot spotlight. How about that?
Yes. Interesting.
Right? Right, exactly. So we start, Connie, the second segment. We call it the Say What segment.
Love it.
Love it, right? Say What. And it's what we usually do in this second segment is we find an article that fits our topic. And so the article that we found was from Diana Barth from Psychology Today. And Diana Barth's article is called What Makes Some People Feel Entitled to Special Treatment? Right? What makes some people feel certain that they are entitled to more than others? And so I'm going to read a few excerpts from the article, and I want to ask you a couple of questions as I start going through some of these excerpts. Diana Barth of Psychology Today says, entitlement or sense that we have the right to have something can be a healthy expectation, especially from a child, from a child's psychological development, right? I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, so it is important for them, and it's normal that they think that they are the center of the world, that everything revolves around them, right? And to some degree, that's really, really important and healthy for them. I mean, they should feel that way, and we should be taking care of them. Sometimes it's even called a healthy narcissism or egocentrism. It's part of how a child views the world in the early stages of cognitive and emotional development. However, it's part of a parent's task. It's part of a parent's role to help their children begin to recognize that while his own self is important, it's also equally important to recognize and respect the rights of others. And if you take that even beyond the home life, Connie, I would say it's also important for leaders, business leaders, and political leaders to also remind people and disrupt people to respect others equally in the same way that they respect themselves. The article that Diane Barth shares goes on to discuss how a sense of entitlement can emerge from feelings of being mistreated or not getting what we need, which is what you and I were starting to talk about in the first segment. It can be a way of saying, I deserve to be taken care of or treated with compassion and respect just as much as anyone else does. Often individuals, Diane Barth goes on to say, have been mistreated or disrespected, exhibit a sense of entitlement when they start to feel that they deserve better than they've been getting. Now, this, again, can be healthy and a healthy shift towards self-respect. Yet, even in that moment, eventually there's a need to find a way to balance self-respect or self-love with the respect for others. So, Connie, offline when we talked, you said, you used the term, and I found it interesting, the imposter syndrome. How does being mistreated, like we said, especially at an early age, relate to this phenomena that you called the imposter syndrome?
Well, it's interesting. I don't know who coined the term, but it's actually a psychological sort of syndrome where a lot of people feel that they are imposters.
Right.
You know, you speak to CEOs, multimillionaires, and I'm going to say everybody feels like they are faking it. They think, okay, how did I get here? Because I feel that I'm not good enough.
Right.
And it goes to this defense mechanism of behind the mask that everyone wears is actually an inner child, an insecure person who feels that they need to prove themselves.
Okay.
Because they feel that they aren't good enough.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting you say that because I remember the very first time that I did a public talk. And 50 people registered. They were 50 executives. They were coming to this 2-hour workshop that I was doing. And I felt so uncomfortable. I felt so inauthentic. I felt so undeserving. I was thinking to myself, don't they really know who I am? Or imagine if they knew who I really was? And it's interesting what our belief system will do. We've done this other topic on our show, which is around context and our underlying assumptions about ourselves. And when we have a specific underlying assumption, that drives our choices and our actions. And so in that moment when I had those 50 people registered and I was feeling undeserving of them being at my talk or vice versa, me being at the talk, even though I think they thought I was more deserving than I did, obviously, I ended up not showing up for the talk. I ended up making up some reason as to why I couldn't make it that particular morning. I mean, the things that we'll do to sabotage and get in our way.
Yep.
So we're talking about Diane Barth's article, What Makes Some People Feel Entitled or to Special Treatment. So I'm going to just read a little more from there, and I want to ask you a couple of more questions. So she goes on to say that there's a psychologist, John Guido, that points out, we are programmed to be entitled at an early stage of life. Like I was saying earlier, I have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. But we're also programmed to gradually develop the capacity to recognize that other people also have needs. Now, they can only do that when their own feelings, when their own needs are also taken into account and taken care of as well. But they can also learn to do it when they are taught that other people also have needs, which, again, I believe is a responsibility of parents, teachers, the leaders in business, your manager at work, politicians. What the article goes on to say is that only when we learn to manage this balance between our needs and those of others can we have genuinely satisfying, intimate relationships with other people. And we can only learn to manage them through careful, kind, and supportive guidance from others who we know also love us. So again, I'm going to go back to a conversation you and I had. You also said that when you haven't been taken care of, you operate from an angry place, and a sense of entitlement covers up your insecurity and covering up the hurt. You said that offline. You said that in our first segment. Can adults learn to be different? I mean, often people say, you know, you can't teach an old dog a new trick, right? So can you teach this old dog, me, that, for example, I'm about to have a really big birthday this year, Connie. Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. Okay. Can you teach this old dog a new trick?
Absolutely. Of course you can.
Okay, good. I was hoping you'd say yes.
Actually, that's a really, really great question, and I get asked that all the time, because you see, the thing is, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and this is sometimes what we forget. You know, you've got all these years, Nick, that you have.
Right. Thank you for not actually giving the number out.
So you've got all these years of conditioned views.
Right.
And to teach an old dog new tricks basically just means you've got to recondition them. But, you know, more than that, reconditioning is on a sort of neurological level. For me, what's important is to go deeper. Can I go deeper for a bit? Is that okay?
Go for it.
Okay. So we were talking about this idea of entitlement being a defense mechanism of anger. Now, let's take that one step deeper.
Okay.
Anger, I believe that anger is actually when what you've done is you have suppressed that belief that who you are is good enough and who you are is worthy of abundance and getting everything that you are entitled to as a spiritual being.
Okay.
So what happens in life, as we know, is we get mistreated, we get abused, people tell us no, no, no. People try and squash us, we try and fit into these boxes, we put on all of these masks. And what happens on a soul level is that your soul keeps saying to you, no, this is not okay, this is not okay.
Right.
You deserve more, you deserve more. And eventually what happens, because we're not expressing
right.
the truth of we are, and we're not in that vibration, I feel that anger sometimes comes out when we think, no, this is all on an unconscious level, obviously.
Right.
But we think, no, I bloody well do deserve it, you know, and then the anger comes out. Like, I'm entitled to it. I've been suppressed for so long.
Yes.
The inner me has not been heard.
Yes.
So, you know, but yes, I am entitled to it.
Yes.
And that's, I think, where anger comes from. In the sense of entitlement.
Yeah, and it's interesting, this sense of entitlement actually can backfire, leading to the exact opposite of what somebody actually is wanting and desiring, right? I mean, part of being committed to being entitled, or that I deserve something, especially over you or over another group, is to have yourself feel special, right? Is to feel good, especially again if in the past there was something opposite that happened to you. But what's interesting in the experience of being entitled, instead of actually feeling special, often what happens is we end up losing friends or losing business opportunities or creating separation between us and business colleagues. Being respectful of other people's needs and wishes, while also, by the way, making sure we're taken care of, right, that we're included in that, can lead to a much more satisfying relationship. Can lead to relationships that are much more connected. So it's just interesting that the intent of someone who's being entitled is to feel special, but I think in the end, they make people want to go away. They leave people with the experience of, geez, I want to take a shower after interacting with this person because I feel taken care of. Taken from. We're going to take a break, Connie. By the way, Connie, I know you know this. We have a podcast that drops every week, so this show turns into a podcast. We continue to be in the top 10. You can find the Dudes of Disruption podcast on Podomatic and also on iTunes. Still to come, we have Kristen Bavero, Coach Kristen from Think Human. In the fourth segment, we have Parting Shots. Please feel free to call in at 212-650-6903.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz.
All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics. Today we're talking about, are you entitled? Check out Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, the question for the disruptors out there, where in your life are you playing a game of being entitled, where you believe you deserve more than others? And what's it costing you? That song was Mercedes Benz from Janis Joplin. I thought it was appropriate to play that because the song is a social commentary, and she actually says that at the beginning of the song, on how many people relate to happiness and self-worth by having more money and more material possessions than others. The song actually is Janis Joplin poking fun at the mindset that luxury goods will make everything better. What she's poking fun at is that because I have more, I'm therefore better. And so that's part of the disruption today, which is how do we create a world for you and also in politics and also in business where everybody feels worthy and everyone has self-respect and self-love, and at the same time, there's self-respect and love for everyone else as well. So we have Kristen Bavero, Coach Kristen from Think Human, joining Connie, Lee Bennett, and myself. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Do you want to give us one line on who you are, Kristen?
Great. So I work for a company called Think Human, which teaches businesses the basic human skills that we don't learn in school.
Oh, love that. Say that last line again.
It teaches businesses some basic human skills that you don't learn in school.
Wow. I've got some fancy pant guests on here. So Kristen, let me ask you a couple of questions. Connie, please feel free to jump in. I'll obviously be asking you as well some of the questions I asked Kristen. Last week's show was called Win-Win. And I'll give, very quick on what that means. Win-win means, love the relationship more than yourself, because the relationship includes you. And that was from a mentor of mine, Tom Zapolsky, who once said that to me. He said, love the relationship more than yourself, because guess who gets included inside of that relationship? You do. And so when you bring a win-win mindset like that to politics, regardless of your party, regardless of what your beliefs are, when you bring that kind of win-win mindset to business, regardless of what department or what your role is or what division you work within your company, when you bring that in life, in your community, something different gets created, right? So with that as backdrop, how does entitlement actually create a win-lose environment in the workplace first? And then if you could also then add, how does entitlement create a win-lose environment in our political landscape that we're seeing play out these days?
Mm-hmm. So I think that in business, and we speak about this a lot in our management trainings and in our trainings for the senior leadership, I think that what companies do, and sometimes they don't mean to do it, is they reward individual performance versus performance on teams.
Okay.
So I think that creates a win-lose, because then it's everybody for themselves trying to be an individual provider and the best individual provider,
right,
versus how do you promote a place where you can win and so does your team, because
we're
all winning together.
How do you think it's playing out in our political landscape here in the States? Connie is calling in from France. I'm sure they have their unique political landscape as well, which, Connie, you can weigh in after Kristen. How do you think it's playing out in our politics today, this self-entitlement? I'm entitled to something more than you.
I think that, you know, on your show before, we've talked about psychological safety and not feeling safe. And when you feel like your back is against the wall, sometimes what can get created is you feel like, all right, well, we both can't be taken care of, so I'm going to make sure that I'm taken care of. And I think that that's what's happening right now,
right,
in politics, is that it's just like, well, I don't feel like you're hearing me, so I'm going to scream louder until you listen. And a lot of the focus is on that versus let me really get you and understand what you're saying and like constantly work together to create something better.
Connie, what do you say about that? How is win-lose, or the relationship between I'm entitled to something over you, which I believe creates a win-lose dynamic in any relationship, both in business, politics, at home, and your community. How's that playing out in the politics in France, for example?
Wow. I guess that's an interesting one. You know, I actually just want to take a step back, because I think it's worth looking at this idea of judgment and reflection of limiting beliefs. Because whenever you feel, I really love what you were saying earlier on, Kristen, about feeling safe. Hmm. And I think I agree 100%. Whenever we're not feeling safe, and it's a physical sensation in our body, whenever we're not feeling safe, it's because we're in that space of, well, someone's judging me, and they're judging me because I'm not good enough. So I now need to prove my self-worth. And how I need to prove my self-worth is by putting myself in a box.
Right.
And it's like you were saying, it causes that separation. Now, this can be seen in all types of businesses and politics. Is whenever there is a separation, it's because people are thinking, well, it's like we were just saying, it's not the group, it's the one. It's
right.
Like, okay, well, we're needing to compete against each other,
right,
rather than work as like a bicycle.
Right.
And whenever you're feeling that someone is more entitled to you than you, or you are more entitled than someone else, actually what you're saying is the opposite. You're reflecting how you feel on a deeper level that you're not entitled.
Mm, interesting.
You're not good enough. So if we pose this question to the listeners, is okay, well, where are your feelings of entitlement or lack of entitlement? And look at the level of that, whether in work or in politics or how you feel, with regards to, you know, social, we were talking about healthcare and stuff, weren't we?
Right.
So what is the direct, so sort of like scale of the belief of entitlement to your limiting belief about yourself and the abundance that you actually do have versus the scarcity and your need to prove yourself.
Interesting. Let me go back to Kristen for a moment to ride your coattails there, Connie. So, Kristen, I know you do executive coaching and you work with teams. I'm sure you tell your clients that you work with, you tell them all the time, I believe, or some version of this, that, you know, that you see the best version of them. You see how special they are. You find reasons or you do exercises where they can get connected to their uniqueness and their greatness. I'm sure you catch them doing the right things when you're coaching one-on-one or when you're in a team dynamic and facilitating. So how do you, with that in mind, how do you get people to feel special without having them feel like they're better than others, that they deserve something more than another person or another group? How do you strike that balance?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
Is that for another show?
No. For me, I put a lot of emphasis on the fact that leaders are people that make others better.
Right.
So that's what a lot of our coaching is spent on, is an outward focus versus an inward. Like, look inward so that you can realize things about yourself, realize something about yourself so that you can make the people around you better. And I think that in that dynamic, you're constantly looking at how can I be better so that the people around me can be better.
Right. As Gandhi says, right, be the change you want to see in the world. So it starts and ends with me. Let me be connected and loving and inclusive and being a unifier, being a visionary. Let me be those things. Let me be outwardly focused, because there's a domino effect, and what should happen is people will follow that because they'll have the experience of what that creates.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me switch gears. We've been talking a little bit about business and even politics, and this question is for both of you. As it relates to men, since I'm a dude and you are dudettes, you are ladies of the global tribe of disruption. As it relates to us dudes, this is for the, so because the dudes want to know, how sexy is it when a man is operating from a place of entitlement, operating from a place of I'm entitled to that? How sexy is it?
Mm-hmm. You want to go first?
Okay. thank you. Well, you see, the thing is, how sexy is it? That is a great question. you see, the thing is, I can never give you a straight answer. So sorry, I'm going to give you a roundabout answer.
That's okay.
You see, the thing is, sexiness is a many-faceted term.
Right.
So there is ego sexiness.
Right.
There is emotional sexiness.
Right.
And there is obviously core, gut, soul, true sexiness of who you are.
So far you're describing me. Sorry, go ahead, keep going.
You're the whole package.
Right.
Whole package,
right.
Nick.
Yeah, I'm not entitled.
No, I was talking about the sexiness, like the three layers of sexiness. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we digress. So on a mental, on an ego level, when a man is acting entitled, what he's often just showing is his mask, and we on an unconscious level can feel when anyone, man or woman, is stepping into that space as a mask,
yes,
because that chops and changes and
yes,
the vibration isn't really real.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, emotionally, when a man is being entitled, then, you're feeling the disconnect and the vibration of the emotions. You can feel it, can't you? We're feeling beings. And definitely on a spiritual level, on a core level, when a man is being entitled, you know, that it's just, you feel it. You
yes,
feel it. So, but saying that, you know, what is even more sexy is if a man is vulnerable about his entitlement, because we were saying that we're all human and every single one of us feels that we are entitled or that we are not entitled. So there's many aspects to who we are.
Right.
But me, what's sexy is when a man can say, listen, this is the journey that I'm on. I'm aware of what I need to work on. And like you were saying, changing, teaching new tricks, you know, these are the new tricks that I want to be.
Yeah, I love that. Cause when I'm coaching and facilitating in business, and I know Kristen is aligned with this thinking because we've worked together, when a leader tells on themselves, that's what you're really describing. In this case, I was asking you about a man being sexy. When a man tells on themselves, when they're willing, to me, that's courageous to be able to tell on yourself. When you're a leader and you're able to tell on yourself, what you then create is a safe space. And when you have a safe space, you bring people closer together. You enrich the connection. There's a deeper, more authentic connection that gets created. Kristen, how sexy is it? How sexy is it when a man is operating from a place of, I'm entitled to that, Kristen?
I don't think it's sexy at all. I agree with what you were saying, that when men come from a different place where it's win-win and everybody gets to go, to me, the world is safe. And I think that entitlement really brings up a feeling of fear, a feeling of win-lose, a feeling of getting left behind.
Right.
And I think that men, one of like the greatest things that they can bring into a space is safety. And just in general, us as leaders, if you don't mind, I'd like to read this quote. It's one of my favorite quote about leaders, and I think it talks about win-lose. It's leaders are individuals who help us overcome our own selfishness, weakness, and fears, and get us to do harder, better, more important work than we would do on our own.
I love
and
that.
And I think that beautiful. It's really about coming together, win-win, and anytime there's a feeling of, you know, I deserve something different and I want to like step over somebody else, that can, you can disrupt that automatic by saying, what's going on in this situation?
Right.
That all of a sudden I'm like out for myself,
right,
versus being a part of everybody.
Which is back to Connie's point, connecting that to Connie's point. Connie's saying that often we feel entitled because we have a missing. We feel like there's something missing in us. And so that's actually your good news, meaning that, hey, that's like your, you know, the red flag just goes up to say, hey, why am I operating from this place? Because I'm not always operating from this place. Kristen, can you, would you mind holding on through the break and bring you back so we can do parting shots with you and Connie?
Sure.
So before we go to break, just want to let the Global Tribe of Disruptors know again, the Dudes of Disruption have a men's group here in New York City. If you're interested in joining our men's group, email us at coachnick@coachnick.com. We also have a social activist group talking about politics and how to continue to stay engaged and be on the court around politics. Email me again at coachnick@coachnick.com. Up next, we have Parting Shots. All right, you're listening to Coach Nick and Dudes of Disruption, Disrupting Your Automatics. Today we're talking about Are You Entitled? That song was Under My Thumb by the Rolling Stones. How appropriate. The narrator of the song can't control his narcissistic rage against the girlfriend who supposedly once controlled him. And the narcissist narrator boasts and brags about how things have changed, that change has now come. The lyric goes, the squirming dog who just had her day now talks when spoken to, dresses how he requires, and keeps her eyes to herself while he's allowed to oogle other women. A good example of someone believing they are better or more deserving than someone else. We have, again, as I said earlier, we have a podcast that drops early in the week every week, Dudes of Disruption, We are ranked number 10 on Podomatic. You can also find our Dudes of Disruption podcast on iTunes as well. We're talking about, are you entitled? Let me ask this quick question. I know it's not a quick answer, but I can only give us about 30 seconds each, and then we'll do parting shots. In the spirit of, or in the conversation of entitled, are people entitled to health care? Because that's a big, hot topic. And so, again, I know it deserves much more time, and we're up against the clock, so I'm going to give you guys about 30 seconds each to give me your perspective on that. Connie, would you like to go first?
Great, thanks. Throw me on the hot seat first. okay. So for me, it links with what we've been talking about so far. This idea of, you know, the Trinity, the figure of eight, where everything is connected and everyone is connected. And as one person is entitled, so is everyone entitled. And it's about, you know, as everyone is deserved of everything.
Yes.
And no one is deserved, you know, no one deserves nothing and everyone deserves everything. And, you know, it's to keep that symbol of that infinity sign in your mind whenever there is anything to do with lack or scarcity or better than or you deserve or I deserve or just because you are this or you are that. It's got nothing to do with the human conditioned role that you're playing.
Right.
It is about connecting with that person on a soul-based level and knowing that we are all one and we are all connected.
Beautiful. Kristen, you're on the hot seat. Are people entitled to health care?
I agree with Connie in the sense that I think as human beings, we get to constantly get creative about how to take care of each other.
Mm.
Whether that's health care, business, in everything.
Yes. I love that. And again, when we take care of others, we get taken care of inside of that. I think that's the biggest disruption for those of us who operate from a place of entitlement or can fall into that. And by the way, we're human beings. It's okay to fall into that. What's not okay is to stay there or to stay there for long periods of time. And so again, what I'm hearing you both say is, what I'm actually hearing you guys say is love the relationship more than yourself. And guess what? You're included in the relationship, so you get taken care of. So parting shots, ladies. Kristen, I'll put you on the hot seat this time, so that way Connie doesn't think I'm playing favorites. Kristen, what would be your parting shot around this conversation called Are You Entitled?
And do you mean by parting shots, what do I want to leave people with?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, perfect. What I would say is that as human beings, we have to not be so tight about the stuff that doesn't work about us and tell on yourself when you feel entitled. Tell on yourself when you are embarrassed about the things that go on in your head and constantly look for opportunities in your families, in your relationships, and in your businesses to make sure that your team is thriving, whether that be your team at home or your team at work, or your team in your community or your country. Make sure that everyone is thriving. And when they are not, and when you are in a conversation that you are being left behind or you deserve more,
right,
that's when you should really be talking to others and getting to the bottom of what is really underneath that feeling, given that we're all here to love each other and co-create, and you get to be part of the wave.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Connie, your turn.
I would say for me it's about this idea of reflection. So looking at yourself in the mirror, whenever you are feeling any sense of discomfort or ease about yourself not being good enough, and looking at yourself in the mirror and looking into your eyes and saying to yourself, you know what? I love you. I really love you. And you are pretty amazing. And you are pretty awesome. And when you look into your eyes, you see who you truly are. You know, when you look at your face or you look at your hair or, you know, the gray hairs or, you know, the clothes, or you're looking at the outside expression of society's mold of you.
Right.
But when you're looking in your eyes, you connect to who you are. And then equally, when you begin to look into the eyes of those around you from the space of looking into their soul rather than, oh, look at the clothes that they wear. They're not entitled. Or look at the clothes that they wear. Ooh, they must be more entitled.
Mm.
When you look into the eyes of people, you see that you are connected.
Yes.
And it's not about the outside.
Love it. Thank you so much, Connie, for being on the show. My parting shot.
My honor.
My parting shot comes from, I shared the article earlier from the Say What section, Diane Barth's Psychology Today article, What Makes Some People Feel Entitled to Special Treatment. She shared a study that Paul Piff conducted. It was 5 studies on entitlement. And what Paul Piff points out was pretty interesting, that both narcissism and entitlement can be decreased when admired leaders model a more respectful stance towards others. What Paul Piff describes is that adults, very much like children, can learn to manage feelings of entitlement in a healthier and productive way. And the consequences, the results are actually pretty darn interesting. People who feel less entitled seem to have better relationships and greater self-esteem than those who present themselves as more, quote-unquote, more special than anyone else. What I'm really getting from those studies is that what we said earlier in the third segment, when you model leadership qualities like love, connection, everybody deserves, everybody is worthy, then everyone will model those ways of being as well. What the world needs today is for leaders. And when I say leaders, I don't mean by title. I mean every single one of us is a leader in our lives to relate to everyone that we all deserve what we desire because there is enough in the universe to go around. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption, Connie Lee Bennett, Kristen Bavero. We are back next Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. The podcast, Dudes of Disruption, will drop tomorrow. And every show ends with a Hall of Fame disruptive quote from Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. A big, huge, major smile because it happened.